This is Agriculture Today.
USDA unveiled new support measures for farmers during the American Farm Bureau Federation convention, expanding dairy margin coverage for 2026 and authorizing additional Section 32 purchases of U.S.-grown commodities to support farm income and nutrition programs. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced that enrollment for the DMC program opened January 12th, runs through February 26. Changes authorized under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act reestablished DMC through 2031. They raised Tier 1 coverage from 5 million to 6 million pounds of milk and allow producers to reset production history using their highest milk marketings from 2021 through 2023. Producers may also lock in coverage levels for 6 years at a 25% premium discount. USDA also confirmed upcoming Section 32 purchases aimed at increasing U.S.-grown foods and nutrition channels, supporting producers while advancing the administration's health priorities. Rollin also met with California specialty crop producers to discuss labor needs, highlighting recent actions to reduce H-2A labor cost. Well, farmer and rancher delegates also closed the Farm Bureau convention by adopting a wide-ranging set of policy provisions to guide the organization's work in 2026. Voting delegates emphasized rising input costs, trade imbalances, and weak commodity prices as shared challenges facing operations of all sizes. So delegate polling showed nearly 99% of voting members operating family farms. More than two-thirds represent small to mid-size operations, and that data framed policy discussion centered on labor access, animal health, market risk, and farm viability. Coal cow prices entering 2026 at historically high levels, and while seasonal patterns suggest a mid-year rally is still possible, gains may be more modest than usual. That outlook comes from Dr. David Anderson, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension livestock economist, who says tight supplies remain the dominant factor supporting the market. Coal cow prices typically soften in the fall as slaughter rises, but that pattern largely failed in late 2025. Southern Plains auction prices for 85-90% lean cows held near $163 per hundredweight from June through the end of the year. Nationally, cutter cow prices dipped seasonally but recovered most of those losses by December, even as cow beef cutout values declined more than 9%. Looking ahead, he expects lean beef supplies for grinding to remain tight, supporting prices in the mid-year, while dairy cow culling could increase if milk prices weaken further, beef cow slaughter likely to stay limited. And a new calendar year is offering producers a natural opportunity to reassess how grain and livestock are marketed, not just how they are produced. Will Maples with Mississippi State says effective marketing plans help farmers manage risk year-round rather than relying on just a single sales decision. He emphasizes proactive marketing, spreading sales throughout the year, and aligning targets with seasonal price strength. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Let me just say, as someone who's been a Farm Bureau member for 30 years now, I'm just proud to belong to the greatest grassroots organization in the world, and that's the American Farm Bureau. Good stuff.
Chairman of the House Ag Committee from Pennsylvania, G.T. Thompson, at Farm Bureau's annual convention.
And I think that it's hard to look at the future with just reflecting on the past. You know, what we were able to do in Farm Bill 1.0 really predated long before the One Big Beautiful Bill. It came with the travel that we did around the country. We did it in a bipartisan way. We had ideas from both sides of the aisle. And it was reflected in what we passed back in 2024 out of the House committee. And, you know, I don't think there was a better bipartisan constructed bill at that point. And you all were a part of that because we did it in a tripartisan way, bringing it to the table. So using that momentum going forward, we really need to get what I refer to as Farm Bill 2.0 done. You know, we were able to make a significant investment, historic investment in agriculture with what we did on trade and animal health and bringing down the cost of crop insurance and safety net. But there's more left to be done. You know, that 20% of investment that we need to do that's left, it's about 80% of them. Of the policies, and it's so important. So that's we need to do that. We need to do agriculture labor. It is time to break that gridlock that we've had since the 1980s. We're counting on our friends in the Senate to get something with digital commodities across the finish line. That's in our jurisdiction as well. We're proud of the fact that we were able to do that in a bipartisan way, along with the grain standards, and not exactly coming out of our committee, but really pushed by our committee. Whole milk for healthy kids.
Ranking member of the House Ag Committee from Minnesota, Angie Craig.
Farm Bill 2.0, skinny farm bill, whatever we're calling it these days, we absolutely need to finish the job. Crop insurance reference prices got taken care of in the One Big Beautiful Bill, but we need to make sure that farm credit, rural development, those things are taken care of as well. So I do hope that we can come to a bipartisan consensus on those two things. The other thing that wasn't raised that I want to say, though, is with high input costs, low commodities prices, with a global trade war, the $12 billion in farm relief that was just announced isn't nearly enough to make up for the losses in this country. And so, particularly specialty crop growers, I know among the group here we had some commodities that feel like you're winners, you're losers, whatever. But as the granddaughter of a farm foreman from Arkansas, John, you know that. So Minnesota and Arkansas is heavily covered up here. My grandfather lost his job in the 1980s farm crisis when the farmer lost the farm. And I have never forgotten that in my work on the Ag Committee, that's what we have as a responsibility to figure out. We need more export markets in this country. I was a bane in the side of the Biden administration on this point. We need more domestic markets in this nation. And so I'm going to be looking for year-round E15, higher blends of ethanol, sustainable aviation fuel. We have to be thinking about that. And it's not in our jurisdiction, but we haven't brought up the cost of health care in this country. And I just want to say, with 27% of farmers and ranchers across this country on some sort of Affordable Care Act plan today, the cost of health care is out of control, and we got to figure out how we deal with it in this country.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News now. Agriculture Today.
What is a good bull worth in 2026?
That's a pretty good question. Dr. Mark Johnson, Oklahoma State beef breeding specialist.
It's interesting that this week is the beginning of the Cattlemen's Congress show in Oklahoma City. There's a tremendous amount of cattle there and a number of outstanding purebred seed stock sales that'll take place where seed stock breeders from around the country market their most progressive genetics in the form of yearling bulls. Bull buying season will continue into the spring months in Oklahoma and all over the country. And as we do each year, we take a look at current cattle markets, the situation, and make a prediction of what a good bull's worth in the year 2026. So, first, we always define what is a good bull. A good bull is a bull that sells with a registration paper that's got complete pedigree information and complete genetic values all through the traits, typically 20 to 30 different genetic values in the form of EPDs, bioeconomic indices that breeders can take into account to make sure that bull fits their particular program. Second criteria of a good bull, a bull that's passed a breeding soundness exam and sells with some sort of a breeding soundness warranty. And I add a third component this year. A good bull is a bull that's going to add value to your calf crop. He's going to fit your production system, your intentional use of those potential females that are coming out of that, and the marketing endpoint that you've got for the calves that he sires. Now, from there, we take a look at what our intended marketing program is. And right now, using Dr. Peel's figures from the end of 2025 and his article last week in Cow-Calf Corner, if we sell wean calves, they're worth about $2,400 to $2,500 right now. If we sell yearlings, they're worth somewhere in the ballpark $2,800 to $2,900. And if we're selling fed cattle at current prices, fed cattle are worth somewhere in the ballpark $3,400, $3,500, $3,600, depending on that finished weight. So our old rule of thumb, the one that I was taught here at OSU 40 years ago, a good bull is worth five calves that he sires. It means if our intended marketing endpoint is wean calves, a good bull's worth around $12,000 to $12,500 right now. If we sell yearlings, a good bull's worth $14,000 to $15,000. And if our intended marketing endpoint for the calves of bull sires is finished cattle, a good bull's worth $17,000, $18,000. As I always say, what do these numbers demonstrate? Well, they demonstrate that the longer you're going to own the offspring out of a bull, the more value the genetics that that bull has are worth to you, and you're going to capture more value out of that genetic potential the longer you own the calves. Hence, the fed cattle being worth more than the wean calves. The other thing that's important to address here, and it's harder to quantify, but if we're going to keep daughters out of a bull we're selecting right now, we're going to have the genetic impact of that bull in our cow herd for at least a decade. And so there's even greater value if we are identifying, selecting, and purchasing bulls right now that we're going to be retaining daughters of to become our next generation of cows. So I hope this helps. We do this annually in order to kind of serve as a roadmap or somewhat of a barometer of what we expect to see bulls selling for this year. That old rule of thumb that a good bull's worth five calves he sires equates to values of $12,000 to $18,000.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
This is Agriculture Today.
As of this morning, core inflation for the past 3 months has been just 1.6%. The numbers we just announced just before I came on stage.
Speaking to the Detroit Economic Club in Michigan on Tuesday, President Donald Trump.
And GDP is smashing expectations with the fastest growth for this country in many years. The fourth quarter is projected at 5.4%, and that's despite the Democrat shutdown where we lost at least 1.5 points. You know, the Democrat shutdown, we would have had close to 7. Think of that. Close to 7. They were projecting 2. The fakers were projecting 2. And if we keep deregulating and adding more capacity, like I saw today at Ford, and if we don't raise interest rates every time good news is mentioned. You know, in the old days, I'm probably old. I used to be up at these lecterns and I'd say, I'm younger than pretty much everybody in the room. Now I say I'm older than pretty much everybody in the room. I like it the other way better, actually. But you're too young. But in the old days, when you had good numbers, interest rates would go down. When you had good numbers, the market would go through the roof. That's the way we're going to make it again. That's the old-fashioned way. That's the right way. Today, if you announce great numbers, they raise interest rates to try and kill it. So you can never really have the kind of rally you should have. What happens and what we want, we're going to have a lot of great months, a lot of great quarters. I want the market to go up. You announce unbelievable numbers and the market goes down because they know they're going to, you're going to do everything possible in the Fed. We have a real stiff in the Fed, but that's for another day. But they raise rates. So everyone says, oh, they announced great numbers. It's great, great, great. And the market goes down because they immediately raise rates. No. When the market goes up, they should lower rates. You want to see 20% and 25%? You want to see what we can do? We've got to go back to an old standard. When there's good news, the market should go up, not go down. Does that make sense to everybody? And that's the way it used to be for most of the time. That's the way you make a country great. But our growth potential is unlimited and could be much higher if we went back to sanity. We're not doing it anymore. We're talking about the head of a Fed, of the Fed, and I want somebody that when the market is doing great, interest rates can go down because our country becomes stronger. See, you view it differently. Our country becomes stronger, and therefore interest rates should go down, not up. They kill every rally. If it's, no matter who, it's beyond me as president, it's no matter who's president. You have a good quarter, and they want to kill it because you're so petrified of inflation. And growth and inflation don't necessarily go hand in hand. You can have growth and very low inflation. In fact, oftentimes growth is good for low inflation. So we're going to work on that, Scott, right? I think we're going to work on that very hard. I mean it so strongly. It's sickening. We announce good numbers and we see the stock market drops 300 points. I say, what the hell is going on? Do you agree with me? It should be just the opposite. All right, Scott agrees. I'm very happy about this. That means if he didn't agree, I wouldn't do it. But we're already growing double, triple, and even quadruple the speed of almost every other major economy on Earth. We're the number one economy on Earth, too. But in a matter of months, largely because of tariff income and the election result, we've slashed that gaping trade deficit by, in a short period of time, 62%. Just came out, 62%. People are stunned. The fake news back there, look at those cameras rocking and rolling. No, the fake news back there is, they're very upset about it, actually. But they're stunned. They can't believe it. We cut our trade deficit in actually 10 months was when the number came out. We cut it by 62%. It's going to go better than that now.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Planted acreage at 98.8 million acres is up 0.1% compared to the previous estimate and up 8.7% for 2024. This represents the highest planted area since 1936.
With that, on Monday, USDA's Anthony Prilliman unleashed the most bearish news the corn market has seen.
Harvested area for grain is estimated at 91.3 million acres. That's up 1.3% or 1.21 million acres from the previous forecast and 9.9% higher than last season. This represents the highest harvested area since 1933. The 2025 average yield is estimated at a record high 186.5 bushels per acre. That is up 0.3% or half a bushel from the previous estimate and up 4% or 7.2 bushels from the previous year. Production is estimated at just over 17 billion bushels. That is up 1.6% from our previous forecast and up 14.3% from 2024. And this too represents a record high for the U.S. And then lastly, the bottom table on this slide shows the top five corn producing states in 2025 and how acreage, yield, and production compare to the 2024 season. I will point out that all five states listed in this table recorded record high corn production in 2025.
All the numbers well above trade analyst expectations.
You can see how the 2025 record yield of 186.5 bushels compares to the previous seasons and trend. The 2025 yield represents the third consecutive year of increasing yields and is above trend. All right, this map is comparing the 2025 yields to 2024 by state. You can see those year-over-year changes. Now, as you can see, there's a lot of blue on this map, indicating that most states had better yields in 2025 compared to the previous season. Now, I do want to point out that the two largest corn-producing states of Iowa and Illinois actually had slightly lower yields in the previous season, mainly due to weather and disease pressure. However, both states reported record high corn yields in 2024, and the 2025 yield still represents the second highest yield on record for both states. So even though yields are down in those two large states from the previous season, they were still very good yields this year. And then speaking of good yields, you will also notice record highs in Georgia, Indiana, Louisiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Virginia, Washington, and Wisconsin. All right, this chart shows U.S. corn production over the last 10 seasons so that you can see how this past year's estimated production of 17 billion bushels compares to the previous 9 years. Now, to put this record production in perspective, it is nearly 11% higher than the previous record of 15.3 billion bushels that was produced in 2023. All right, let's now look at how today's NAS production estimate compares to pre-report industry expectations. For this chart, each blue dot represents an individual industry member's published expectation of corn production. The red square represents the NAS production estimate of 17 billion bushels. Now, as you can see, the NAS estimate falls well above what folks were expecting. Now, looking through the expectations, it looks like the biggest surprise will be with the increase in harvested acreage, since most did not anticipate that change.
And on soybeans?
Harvested area is estimated at 80.4 million acres. That's up 0.2% from the previous forecast, but 6.7% lower than the previous season. The 2025 average yield is estimated at a record high 53 bushels per acre. That's unchanged from our previous forecast back in November, but up 4.5% or 2.3 bushels from the previous season. And then production is estimated at 4.26 billion bushels. That's up 0.2% from the previous forecast, but down 2.6% from 2024 due to that reduction in harvest today.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today, purplewave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
In terms of the 25-26 U.S. production numbers,
Bob Mowers with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Let's start with corn.
Average guesstimate going into the report was production somewhere around 16.5 billion bushels with a yield of about 184. And the USDA published numbers higher in both those categories with the production a little over 17 billion versus the 16.5-ish expected by the trade and yield of 186.5 bushels per acre compared to 184. So again, surprisingly higher numbers, which obviously implies higher production. Soybeans, similar story. Anticipation going into the report was for a little bit of a tweak lower in terms of the yield there, but we got just the opposite. So going into the report, something about 4,229,000,000 was the estimated production. We got something higher, just a little bit higher, but still higher, of 4.262 billion bushels. Yield had been anticipated to be 52.7 on average, came in at 53. So again, surprisingly higher numbers. I wouldn't say like outrageously higher, but nonetheless surprisingly higher because they were higher and the market was expecting a bit lower. And then in terms of the grain stocks for the December 1 grain stocks number, in terms of the quantity out there, anticipation was lower numbers relative to what the USDA published. So I won't go into all the data one by one there, but just in terms of just the grain stocks, also higher than expected. And then in terms of the winter wheat seedings, again, higher than expected. Now, the all winter wheat was higher. The hard red winter wheat category was higher than expected. The soft red winter wheat was higher than expected, but the white winter wheat was a little bit lower. But net net, all combined, still the all winter wheat number was higher than the average trade guesstimate going in. And then in terms of zooming out and looking at our formidable competitors down there in South America, the crop production numbers for Brazilian corn, actually a little bit lower than the average trade guesstimate. The USDA published a number of 131 million metric tons. Average guesstimate was 133. And then in terms of soybeans, the opposite. The average guesstimate going in was like just shy of 177, and the USDA published a number of 178. So in terms of Brazil, at least the way the USDA is estimating things, a little bit less corn than had been anticipated by the trade, and a little bit more soybeans. Looking down to Argentina, pretty much just about a push relative to the trade guesstimate going in terms of corn, and about the same for soybeans. So no big change there in that particular country. In terms of the world grain ending stocks, again, zooming out, higher, higher, and higher. So in terms of corn, soybeans, and wheat, all of those numbers in terms of the world grain ending stocks came out higher than the trade guesstimates going in the report. So as you can see, this does not paint a rosy picture in terms of the supply here in the United States, if these numbers prove to be accurate, and then down in South America and what we're looking at globally. And this may not propel prices into new lows. It's just clearly, in my opinion, not going to help really drive it much higher. That's just going to be price and mechanics around the world and whether or not we can compete and get to a level where our prices here in the U.S. can compete.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.